Have you caught a dose of FCS fever? Welcome to the FCS Fever Podcast, a part of the Aaron Torres media feed. Now, here's your host of the FCS Fever Podcast, Jeff Culhane.
All right, let's fire it up. Let's get it going. It is another edition and the final edition, looking back on the 2021 FCS college football season. Welcome in to the FCS Fever Podcast. My name is Jeff Culhane. Great to be with you. And it's been a little over a week now since the FCS National Championship game, Toyota Stadium, Frisco, Texas. Another championship for the Bison. 9 in the last 11 seasons for NDSU, a 38-10 winner over Montana State, and a weekend for NDSU football that was certainly very special. The Bison have been fortunate. They have been, I wouldn't call it lucky, but certainly have been in a situation here over the last decade, which is as good, if not better, than any other football dynasty or sports dynasty in the history of college athletics. You could go even beyond that, the history of sports in general, with what they have accomplished. Yet, there seemed to be a different feeling, a unique feeling about this one, coming off of a spring season, which we all hope, and I certainly don't want to ever replicate ever again. This was a team that had a chip on their shoulder and wasn't necessarily looked at as the odds-on favorites to win the FCS National Championship this past season in 2021. You look back at all of the success the FCS had over FBS foes, the success the Big Sky had versus FBS foes early in the year, the wins by Montana, specifically over Washington. Eastern Washington garners a win. You've got Montana State battling Wyoming early in the season. Cal Poly, a win at Tulsa. On and on and on and on. South Dakota State, a program that is not far off, if they are at all, from NDSU with what they have done here over the last few seasons or so. They are the one program right now that you look at that NDSU, I guess if you want to use the word struggles, has had their struggles with in the Dakota Marker rivalry game, with South Dakota State winning 4 of the last 6 matchups. And of course, James Madison, their final run through the FCS, JMU hoping to end that with a national title. The same goes for Sam Houston as the Bearcats won the spring national championships as well. So we've had years past where NDSU has been looked upon as the odds-on favorite. NDSU against the field in FCS college football, as I laid out, that wasn't the case here this season. This last year was a unique year in the FCS because you had a handful of teams throughout the season you believed could win a national championship. And a lot of those teams I just mentioned. Sam Houston with a lengthy winning streak. You looked at Montana with their win over Washington. NDSU, SDSU, James Madison, an ETSU team with a win at Vanderbilt early on in the season. Montana State and Brent Vegan's first year. I'm not sure if we all believe the Bobcats were going to be Frisco bound, but man, they were good throughout the season. They caught magic. They caught lightning in a bottle with Tommy Mellott and made their way to the national championship game with a run through the postseason that Bobcat fans will never forget. So from that vantage point, it was certainly different. It was certainly unique. And for NDSU, it was a fall season where it wasn't always just, you know, sunshines and palm trees and roses across the board week in and week out. A team that went 14-1 this season and faced its fair share of adversity with some injuries, some questions at quarterback, some questions about offense. Would the offense become more decisive, become more fluid? Well, enter Cam Miller, the young quarterback, sophomore from Solon, Iowa, after Quincy Patterson II went down with injury. Miller surely put his stamp on this NDSU offense and this NDSU season, coming on and helping lead the Bison to Frisco and lead NDSU to a national championship as well. And give Tyler Roll and Randy Hedberg, the coaches at NDSU on the offensive side, the entire offensive staff, but the offensive coordinator, Tyler Roll, associate head coach, passing game coordinator, and quarterbacks coach, Randy Hedberg, a boatload of credit for their success in incorporating a two-quarterback system with that NDSU offense. David Braun, one of the top defensive coordinators, after a spring season where the Bison defense did not look like the Bison defense, that group turned out to be historically great here in 2021, statistically shutting opposing offenses down across the board. A magnificent season for this North Dakota State defense led by David Braun. So a year where it was different, it was unique across the board. We saw that there could be a handful of teams that could win this whole thing in Frisco, Texas. It turned out the Bison remain at the pinnacle. They're at the top of the mountain in FCS college football, letting everybody know that spring season was a mirage and the Bison are the standard in FCS college football once again. We're going to talk about this, obviously, but we've got a lot coming your way with NDSU head coach Matt Entz. And what a job Matt Entz has done carrying on the success and carrying on the tradition of Bison football. 3 years now in the books with Matt Entz at the helm, two national championships, coaching through a pandemic and a spring season, a two-time Missouri Valley Football Conference Coach of the Year, two-time national champion, and two-time AFCA National Coach of the Year in the FCS as well. Matt Entz has taken Bison football, continued its success, and put his stamp on this program and has helped it rise to higher standards as well with what he has accomplished and his vision for the program as well. Was able to catch up with Matt Entz, the head coach of the Herd, in two different parts. We hope you like it. We hope you appreciate it. Coming up later on as well, we'll take a look at the 2022 FCS college football season, some thoughts and putting a bow on 2021. But a conversation here with NDSU head football coach Matt Entz.
Things are getting back to normal a little bit. Mm-hmm. The last 3 weeks have been, you throw the holidays in there, you throw prep in there, have been full of events and work.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been over, well, it's been since January 2019 that it's looked like this.
Right.
I mean, a year ago, we were practicing today. You know, we had 220 practices in the last year. And so this is good for me. It's good for my family. It's good for our coaching staff and our players right now to get back to that normal calendar.
Yeah.
And so we're excited about that, but also excited about what the future looks like, too.
Yeah. Rick Huff and I were talking about that. Is this the most excited you've been for an off season ever?
Well, excited for multiple reasons. Yeah. One, because it does get back to normal. We're going to get some coaches on the road recruiting a little bit, just in front of some high school coaches, something we've done very little over the course of the last couple, 2 years. I'm excited because it's just the volume of young kids we still have on this football team and the volume of young men that played for us in the 21 season that are going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm getting excited just to see where we can go and what little things we can continue to improve on over the course of the next, you know, 7 months until the season shows up.
Yep. One of the last, since last Saturday at 2 p.m. Central Time, what's it been like for you since that point?
It's gone by really quick. It's been probably a smile on my face more than what's customary. It's been outstanding. So we were, you know, we got home about 10 o'clock Saturday night, which was a win compared to the last time down there.
Yeah,
we didn't get home till about 4 o'clock in the morning, and our players had a blast. You know, we had a lot of our administration and supporters on the plane with us on the way home, and I think everyone took just a deep breath. It got pretty quiet on there. I think a lot of people were taking a well-deserved nap.
Yeah.
On the flight back from Frisco. Sunday morning, got up, had to be down at the AFCA convention in San Antonio, turned right around, went right back to Texas. Just a different destination. Had some meetings, had some honors luncheons, things of that nature that I needed to attend. That was great. Monday night, staff got together, watched national championship game with each other over burgers and everything else that goes with it.
You bet.
And then came home on Tuesday, was up at the office on Wednesday. We have some recruits in this weekend. shoveled my own driveway out this morning. Didn't have to rely on the boys or anything like that. They did come out and help, but that was good.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to take every day by day right now, but enjoying everything about it. Trying to catch up on the 300 or so text messages I had after the game and the number of people that reached out and congratulated Bison Nation.
I always ask this question. Text message or phone call from someone you hadn't talked to in a while that influenced you, or a colleague, a coach, a friend, anything that that comes to mind right away.
Well, all the Pro Bison.
Yeah.
And just the volume of messages I've gotten from those guys and the former players here are unbelievable. But, you know, any former player I've had has reached out. But a couple of unique ones are Gary Barta,
yep,
former Bison.
AD at Iowa.
AD at Iowa.
Yep.
You know, reaching out. You know, thought that was really cool.
Yep.
You know, I have some, you know, some good friends that that coach at the Power 5 level. And for them to recognize and appreciate Bison football, I think says a lot about the brand and the way we play. And so anytime you run into those guys at the national convention, you know, quick story. I went up and I had a kind of a social I needed to attend. And I went up and introduced myself to Sam Pittman, head football coach at Arkansas.
Arkansas, yep.
And his first comment was, "Don't be trying to butter me up. We ain't playing you."
But, another example, everyone. There you go.
But his next comment was, "What an awesome game to watch." And he goes, "Every single one of our coaches watched it and walked away from like, man, that's really good football."
Yeah.
And so just the brand, and sometimes you take it for granted. You never should. We always tell our players, never take anything that this program does for granted.
Yeah.
But after games like that, you do truly realize how powerful the logo is and how many people. I was getting on a flight in San Antonio, Texas. I walked by a Delta pilot, mm-hmm, and he threw the horns at me. And I threw them right back.
I love it. That is so great.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
I assume watching that game back, a little different than when you're watching just a random game in the middle of the season back and trying to, you know, pull apart, okay, well, this was good, this was bad, it's what we got to work on. What's it like watching the national championship game back?
You know, I watched actually the first half and then the first series of the second half this morning. Got up early and just needed something to do, so I threw it on. Haven't really dove into it like that. This morning I watched it just kind of as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew the result, but I still was having fun watching it and seeing the energy. I think that's the thing, Andy, sometimes you miss as a coach. You're trying to be so caught up in the X's and the O's and the schematics of it all that you lose sight of the energy that our kids played with. And you talk about energy. There was an unbelievable amount of it, but also the execution, especially offensively that we had, defensively. I mean, it was important for our kids to play well and to put a stamp on this season. And man, they put one on. They put a great stamp on it. And what a fun group to be around for the entire year of you know, since January 21.
Yeah. I don't know if I've shared this with you. I think I've shared it with you. And I shared it on the show Monday, on the first show, doing the show in Denver. So we always record our pregame interview before. It's about 90 minutes before the game, yep, I would say. And the funny part about it was we were just getting ready to record it on the field, and all of a sudden the music blares right on top of us, and you look at me and you go, "Tunnel?" I go, "Let's go to the tunnel. Let's get out of here." So we walked down the tunnel, and it was, I don't want to say that you were relaxed by any means, but I felt like there was just a level of understanding that you had that your guys were ready to play on Saturday. And I walked away from it and I thought, they've got a pretty good feel of how, you know, not that they're going to gap them or blow them out, but it felt like the sense I got was you guys were ready and your players were ready to go out and execute the game plan. Is that as, I don't want to, again, not cocky, not confident, but did you have a really good vibe that your players were locked in more so than maybe another game before with that game on Saturday?
I did. I think the 3 weeks that we had that led up to it, the three or four practices before the holidays, coming back and really just diving in and not hitting, missing a beat. I mean, there were some indicators during winter camp that we were in pretty good situation. And part of it, a lot of the feedback I get from Coach Kramer, you know, there's a lot of days during winter camp we have lifting and running in the morning, back to patterns, kind of like summer almost, and then practice in the afternoon. And our kids didn't, they didn't blink. It's okay. So that's what we're going to do.
Yep.
If that's what it takes to get on the stage, then sign me up.
Yeah.
And if you can't get ready in 3 weeks or feel like you're prepared in 3 weeks, then we didn't do a good job preparing. And I felt like we were in a good spot. And the other piece, and kudos to them, but our football team reassured me every day that we were ready to go. Yeah. I mean, there was, Coach, we got this. I mean, that was the mentality around the hotel.
Yeah.
Coach, we know you get worked up. We know you get excited about games. You know, you feel pressure, Coach. We got this. I mean, that was the mentality.
Yeah.
You know, from guy Dawson Weber, Cordell Volson, Cam Miller. When they feel comfortable, I don't know why I should be. You know, there was no stress.
Yeah.
And the pressure was good. The pressure to win that day brought out the best in our football team because we were totally prepared.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. You mentioned to me we were taping the TV show, your TV show afterwards on the concourse underneath the canopy, and you said Cordell Volson was not going to let us lose this game.
Nope.
What about a guy like Cordell and your other leaders on this team when it comes to this game that provides even more of that belief and understanding that we're going to do it? I don't know how, I don't know why we're going to be prepared, but we're not going to let this one get away from us.
Right. Well, you know, part of being a head coach, you're looking at everything from a big picture, making sure we're moving in the right direction, we're practicing what we needs to be done. Yeah, I lean on my leaders of the team, Cordell, Dawson, Jackson Hankey, Cody Mauk, Phoenix Sproles, Cam and Quincy, and there's a number of other guys that make up our captains, but also our leadership council. They're the ones that give me the day-to-day feedback of how are our legs? How are we from a physical standpoint, and how are we from a mental standpoint?
Yep.
You know, I've challenged our team that there's a lot of good football teams out there. The difference between good and great is the space between your ears. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. If you want a measurable, that's it. And they get it. We got to be mentally better than our opponent. And so just diving into the details, making sure we turn over every stone in our preparation and the willingness to say, hey, this is what I got to do to be a champion.
All right, the first part of our conversation with NDSU head football coach Matt Entz, Andy Rickoff on these interviews with me as well. Second part coming up in moments. And the NFL playoffs are here, and our partners at DraftKings Sportsbook have their best offer yet for new users. Now, first-time users can make a $5 moneyline bet on any team, and if that team wins, you win an automatic $280 in free bets via our partners at DraftKings. That's right, one $5 moneyline bet. And if it hits, you win $280 in free cash. Here's how it works. Click the link in the show description, sign up for a new account with DraftKings Sportsbook, and make your first deposit. Make a $5 bet on any team, and if your team wins, you get an automatic $280 thanks to our friends at DraftKings. It's the best offer going in sports betting, so act now. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-426-2537 in Illinois. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Wyoming. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-888-532-3500 in Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. Or call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. 21 and older, 18 and older in Wyoming, Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. only. A minimum $5 deposit, minimum $5 wager. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions.
We have kind of gone over it ourselves as guys that don't have the knowledge, obviously, that you guys have of your system and what you want to do. I can't remember an offense that ran two quarterbacks like that in and out so seamlessly with such a high level of execution overall. Because we've talked about it. The old adage is if you have two quarterbacks, you maybe have zero, right? But you definitely have two, and you certainly have three with Cole Payton.
Yep.
What does that say about that group and the plan put in place to make that work as well as it did? I mean, it was near perfection on the offensive side.
Well, I think you have to have unbelievably humble young men that are willing to do that. There's not very many quarterbacks out there that are willing to share time. It's one of the most competitive positions on any team. Most teams only take one a year. You can only start one.
Yeah.
And we're kind of outside the norm a little bit by playing so many quarterbacks at different times. But being multifaceted, being able to turn around, hand it off to a tailback, nakeds, play action with either, and quarterback run game with either.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Quincy ended up with the year with maybe 600 yards rushing, and Cam had close to 300.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's and it starts with the guys up front. It starts with the guys in that quarterback room. And, you know, a big shout out has to go to Randy Hedberg.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one who has to balance it all and rep it all, communicate it all, teach, evaluate all those things in that room, and you get the right people. You know, when winning is more important than personal success, you have a chance to do anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking about Cole Payton, too, I know you guys are extremely excited. Randy Hedberg was here just a couple of days ago and is extremely excited about Cole Payton in the future there. Was the plan to get him a snap, or is it just a game situation you feel like you could get Cole Payton a snap there?
No, it was a plan. He's under his four-game redshirt rule, and he's been tremendous all year long, and he's had a lot of reps. You can see his personal development as we go on, and I think part of it was, you know, for everything you've done for us, we got to get you in this game. You deserve a snap in the national championship game, and I think he's only scratching, you know, the very minimal of what he can be down the road.
Hunter Lipke is he is such a unique player. I'm having a hard time trying to describe just the skill set and the talent overall, and the emergence he's had from last spring to through the playoffs has been extremely, extremely impressive. What's this guy's ceiling?
Don't know. I'm excited to find out, though.
Yeah.
You know, I think part of it last spring, he kind of came out a little bit. He was close to 250 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What he did between spring and fall was he trimmed about 10 pounds, modified his body. He's as fast as a tailback. He's as strong as a fullback. He's as physical as a tight end. He kind of does everything, and he does it really well. He's a football guy.
Mm-hmm.
I had my end of the year meeting with him earlier this week. And I joked, I said, for as many things, and kind of a quarterback situation on the last touchdown,
right?
You know, is, am I going to see at Mike linebacker at some point next year? And he doesn't say a lot, but he did smile. So I get, he's probably thinking about it.
Whatever you need, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's fascinating. And we talked about during the coaches show during the season, when you line him up all over the place, I can't imagine the defense has a key there, right? I mean, you can't bring a new guy in. You can't substitute some new personnel because you're sliding him around into different places where he can help you make plays and make things happen.
Well, having had to call defenses for a number of years, you know, I sit back sometimes, and during the course of the game, I'll see the opponent signaling in personnel, and I almost chuckle because it's, how do you handle two tight ends, but one of them's Hunter Lipke, both quarterbacks are in at the same time, Kobe Johnson's in, Christian Watson's in. what is that personnel called?
Yeah.
You know, is it 12H Wildcat? Is it 12HQ? And now, how many calls do you actually have for that personnel group?
Exactly.
And how much did you actually practice it? And, I mean, that there's challenges there. And if you remember, when I became head coach, and I know we're in a fast-paced, we got to score a lot of points world, people always ask, well, how are you going to be involved? I'm going to look at it through the lens of a defense. I'm not going to try to be something I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try to be really good at still understanding I'm a defensive guy, but what were the challenges and the things that I didn't want to deal with as a play caller? And we're going to make sure we do those.
Right.
Because that's where the swinging gate comes up. You have 10, 15 minutes a week on it now. Well, that's 15 minutes. I don't get to worry about the Hunter, Cam, Quincy personnel grouping.
Right.
It all adds up. I mean, you can't just practice. There's 20-hour rule at some point.
Yep.
You got to be done.
Yeah. Your line was, I want it to look like Bison football, but we are going to make everyone defend every square inch of the field all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think our staff has bought into that mentality. Our special teams have elevated that too. And we have big play potential on special teams, big returns, but also we feel like we can flip the field and take advantage of that part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I don't know if he's told you, but Cody Mauch wants a certain package or formation for him now, too.
He's been calling for some carries.
I'll be honest. It didn't happen, and we didn't. It was appropriate. We didn't need to do it at the end of the game, but we had repped a formation that Cordell Volson was at tailback.
Which is just great.
And it was going to fall forward for three.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that cloud one, of dust.
That one wasn't getting pushed back. I saw a video, Coach, of Cordell in high school.
I saw that, too.
At Drake Animus return to kick. I mean, it was like little giants
right
out there.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
He's such a treat to be around. And, you know, I don't think the trophy left his side until Sunday.
That's awesome.
I mean, on the plane, he had it buckled in right next to him. On the way home, I mean, guys like him, Jackson Hankey, our veterans, our seniors, from the moment we walked off the field in Huntsville at Sam Houston, but they didn't talk about it, but you knew the chip on their shoulder was,
yeah,
this is where we're going.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of you need to get on, you know, on board with this deal, but this is how it's going
to
end up.
Because we're taking everybody else to the train station.
Exactly.
To use a Yellowstone reference that I know many out there that you can appreciate, certainly as well as Matt Entz here with us in studio. Those guys in mind, Cordell, Christian Watson. Christian got great news last week.
Yep.
An invite to the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Josh Babich, the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl game in Pasadena. What do those guys have coming up? Christian's being talked about as a top 100 pick,
yeah,
potentially in the NFL draft.
Combine.
Cordell, combine invite, mm-hmm, that's right,
yep,
for Christian. Cordell, we all know what he is capable of doing, and obviously Josh Babich has the athleticism and makeup to catch some eyeballs as well, it feels like.
You're exactly right. I know all of them right now are in their respective spot, training, getting ready. All of them came back with us, but I think Cordell was gone Sunday. I saw a tweet. I know Phoenix got Christian to the airport. He was going, I think, back to Florida,
yep,
to work out. I know. I even think Braden Thomas is in Denver working out right now.
Okay.
So these guys are living a dream right now.
Yeah.
Everything they do now on top of this is just bonus. And so I know this. None of our guys will get cut because lack of effort.
Yeah,
you know, they will put in the time, the energy, the effort. They'll turn people's head. People will open their eyes. You know how well prepared these young men are, and it's exciting. It's exciting times, and I know we got three different games that we got guys playing in. I'm actually going to try to get to the East-West Shrine game and see Cordell play. At one time, Christian was going to be in that game, and now it's going to Mobile. Going to be part of the combine. His numbers have the ability or the potential to be freaky
right
at the combine, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting with him because you know he's going to test great.
He is.
I mean, the speed, everything outside, you know.
Vertical.
We know the football side of it is unbelievable.
Just his measurables.
Yes.
When people actually see him walk in, and he is 6'4".
Yep.
And 205. I mean, and then he's going to put on – he's already has – thank goodness we have the capability here, and people have allowed us, but you know, we utilize GPS, so we have numbers already about, you know, 22.8 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a different speed when you're 6'4".
Right.
You know, you think of 5'11 guys running that type of speed. This is a 6'4", 205-pound player running like that.
Yeah. I think he is going to be a guy that starts getting talked about a lot here in the next, 3 to 4 weeks, and just the rise of it, the buildup, because of the measurables you talk about. And, North Dakota State, skill level, and the amount of success he had individually, certainly.
He's from a school that doesn't throw the ball.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's going to have a great opportunity, and I look forward to it. And, he's reaped everything he's put into this, and we have 120 tremendous young men on our team, but you know, it's fun to see Christian. Only offer he had was North Dakota State.
That's crazy.
He's going to have an opportunity to live out his dream.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
You talked to a lot of those NFL guys. We just talked about Hunter Lipke. I've wondered, because he's such a unique player, have you heard anything on what his prospects might be at that level?
It's a little early right now. I think everyone is pretty focused in on this class, but there's always question marks, especially guys who come later in the year after they see some guys. There's three or four, five guys that they're asking about that are underclassmen, right? Underclassmen or non-seniors that people are already, I think, on their radar. And so I would anticipate fall camp again. It'll be a daily occurrence, but we'll have multiple NFL scouts, GMs, head of scouting departments at practice.
There you go. Some of the comments from North Dakota State head football coach Matt Entz, catching up with him, recapping the national championship game, the successes, and some of the battles and adversity faced by this NDSU football team on their way to their ninth national championship in 11 seasons. What's coming up in 2022? Well, we certainly will have plenty of thoughts on that here in the coming months and through the summertime as well. But as I mentioned earlier, this past fall was not looked at as an NDSU versus the field type of season. We've had those types of years, you know, back in 2013, I would say, 2018, 2019 for North Dakota State football. Not this past season in 2021, but with the COVID year, with roster management and eligibility, and also, unfortunately, losing James Madison and Sam Houston to the FBS, NDSU is the odds-on favorite to be the preseason number one team in the country and to go back down to Frisco and repeat as a national champion once again, a 10th national title in 12 years. I don't know of many that would bet against NDSU right now. I mean, if our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook put out the favorites and the odds for the FCS national championship winners in 2022, there's no question that North Dakota State would be the odds-on favorites, and I would say heavy favorites, to go back to Frisco and win another national title. You have a lot of returning pieces, 17 returning starters overall, and young players and guys that have provided depth waiting in the wings for the Bison to have their chance to go out there and play. And sadly, with the division moving forward, it's going to be a fascinating storyline, folks. This is an interesting next 6 months or so in the world of college athletics. We've got some big meetings going on with athletic directors in Indianapolis this week. What are the Power Five going to do? What's the game plan with the college football playoff? Will the Power Five break off and form their own playoff and own division, trying to keep the money in the world of college football? And if that's the case, will we see the remaining group of five and the top tier of the FCS connect to form their own postseason? It's a fascinating storyline and one to keep an eye on. But for the time being, you look at 2022, it's NDSU in the field, folks. And I don't know many people that would pick against NDSU in the fall of 2022. And with the schools leaving to the FBS, like we talked about, it might be a Dakotas-Montana series or fight, if you will, to reach Frisco. Because I think you got North Dakota State with Mark Gronowski returning for South Dakota State and the pieces they have coming back, and the two Montana schools, Montana State
returning with Tommy Mellott. Again, sad to see Mellott go down early in the football game, and the stars they have coming back, and Bobby Houck and the Grizz at Montana, they're not far away either. Feels like a Dakotas and a Montana run to Frisco, if you will. Which of those four schools will be the ones that position themselves well for seeding purposes in the regular season? And then what does the path through the postseason and the playoffs look like as well? I hope others surprise us. There could be other programs that emerge and respond with the departures of James Madison and Sam Houston. Maybe it is an ETSU who made their way to the quarterfinals for the first time ever. Maybe it is a Kennesaw State. Maybe it is someone out of the WAC or the new A-Sun Conference in the world of FCS college football. Maybe Villanova takes the next step forward as the top team in the CAA with no more James Madison to deal with. Those storylines will certainly emerge through the spring, the summer, and into the fall of 2022. I want to thank Aaron Torres for allowing me to have this platform as a part of the Aaron Torres media feed. I appreciate Aaron. He is a star, and love all of his work, all the things he does on all platforms with his production, his media group, his media feed as well. And I'm thankful that he allowed the FCS Fever podcast to be a part of it. And thank you to all of you out there as well for downloading, subscribing, listening. We're going to rock this thing, continue it on as we continue to talk all things FCS college football into the off season, and certainly pick back up more so in the summer and in the fall of 2022. My name is Jeff Culhane. It was a fun fall, to say the least, in 2021, and a great season, a great fall for all of FCS college football. You've been locked into the FCS Fever podcast. Enjoy the offseason, everyone, and we'll talk again soon down the road.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.